Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
One more time, if God has been good to you, can you give him what he deserves? I'm Jeff, lead pastor here at Christ United. I just want to say there's a place for you. God is literally changing the world one relationship at a time. We talked about it last week. This week, I want to give you an example of exactly what we're talking about. This young man, Brent Richardson, I've loved since he was a kid, really. And he's now on staff with us at Christ United, leading our young adult ministry. If you're a young adult, you need to be in with this. Man, there's some great stuff happening that God is doing. But this morning, Brent is coming to share about the power of God to transform a life. And as he shares, if you're a person who needs transformation, if you're a person who's maybe lost a little bit of hope, if you're a person who doesn't have purpose yet, you're going to learn that God's got it for you, just like he had it in Brent. So Lord, we pray that you're going to move through Brent. You're going to just speak through his heart to our hearts, and that every one of us are going to be impacted in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How we doing? I feel like I need to stretch it out. I missed my stretch on the announcements for those of you who see me in announcements. But we're switching it up today. Praise God. But I'm happy that you came here. And honestly, man, I'm just honored, humbled, and excited to be able to share a little bit of my life with you and how the Lord has worked in my life. But before we get to that, I want us to recap, because it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. Jeff had delivered this powerful message 2 weeks ago about Jesus Christ being the hope of the world. And the reason that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world is because he's the hope for every person in the world. We were honored and blessed to have Brother Sampson here with us from Africa. He had traveled to the States and he spoke with us about his ministry. And Brother Sampson is a Christian king over 17 Muslim tribes in Africa. Yeah. That's right. And the reason that Brother Sampson took this position was because Brother Sampson knew that Jesus Christ was the hope for those 17 tribes, and he's the hope for all of Africa. Just like he's the hope for all of Asia, all of Europe, all of Australia, the people that are suffering in the cold doing scientific things in Antarctica. He's the hope for them too. South America, North America, and everywhere in between. He's the hope for us all. He's the hope for you, and he's the hope for me. And today I get to share with you a little bit of my story and the reason why he is my hope. So what we're going to do today is we're going to be in Titus chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, go ahead and turn to Titus 3. It's behind Timothy in the New Testament. I'm going to be speaking on a few verses, verse 3 through 7. And we're going to go through the scripture, and then I'm going to break the scripture down, and I'm going to take you on a journey of my life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's do this thing. I'm going to work on this clicker. Confession. I mean, I fell on my face on the first service we had. I clicked it. I clicked right. Like, really? Yes. Okay. Amen. Let's do this thing. All right. So, the Titus 3, verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Amen to that. Amen. So I'm going to start us off, start this thing off. Verse 3, at one time we too were foolish and disobedient. I was one of those guys, I guess I was a confident guy because I had my whole life planned out and I really thought this was going to happen. I was going to move to California and I was going to do what Californians do. I was going to play on the beaches. I was going to play in the sun. I was going to surf every day. I was going to go get me a beach cruiser and do what you see on TV. Take that bike and cruise down the boardwalk of Southern California. I was going to meet awesome people. I'd get a great job, and then what would happen next? I would get discovered, and I'd get famous. So because I'm famous, I'd meet this beautiful woman, and I'd get married. I'd have kids. I'd have an amazing career. And so what I would do then is I'd write a book about my life. And you know what would happen? That book would be a bestseller. And it gets better than that. It gets better than that. That best-selling book's then going to get picked up by a film studio. And that book's going to be made into a movie. And let's just keep going. The movie goes on. It gets an Oscar nod. Goes on to the Academy Awards for Best Picture. And I'm going to win me an Oscar, right? Or if I don't win an Oscar, I'll come in a strong second to maybe I'll give it to Tom Hanks. If Tom Hanks came out with a great movie, I'd be okay with that. But the point of the story is my life was grand. It was exciting. It was filled with adventure. It was a full life. Well, I don't think we have to be rocket scientists today to figure that most of these things didn't occur because, well, you haven't seen me in Us Magazine. You haven't seen me in People Magazine. I haven't been on Jimmy Kimmel. There's no book, so therefore there's no movie and there's no awards. I don't have a wife. I'm not married, and I don't have any kids. So a lot of things didn't work out the way I had planned. My life took a completely different path, and the path happened to be a dark one. But I had these big dreams, right? I had these big opportunities. And the opportunity came for me to move to Los Angeles in 2005. I just graduated college from UNC Wilmington. Two of my buddies and I, we decided, man, we're going to go for it. And I remember the excitement behind all that. Because, A, I'd never been to California. And I knew that my dream, I knew what my dream was. So this was the first step to getting there. I'd never been to California, never knew anybody else that had been to California. So there was excitement. So what we did, we went out and we got us a 40-foot U-Haul. And we packed that thing tight with all the furniture we had, with pictures, with surfboards, with bicycles, all our clothes, everything. It was packed tight. And we were going to book it across the country to California. Well, I'm not sure how many of you have ever had the experience of traveling in a packed, fully loaded 40-foot U-Haul. The first thing you realize is that you are not booking it whatsoever because there's a topped-out speed of 74 miles per hour. And if that didn't bless your heart enough, guess what? You're sitting straight up and there's a little bounce that happens. A little bounce. So we quickly realized that it was going to take some time. And it did, believe me. But we had plenty of time to discuss our plans, our actions, what we were going to do when we got there. And at that time, there was this show that was coming on HBO. It was called Entourage. And this show was compelling for young people because it was about four young adults who had moved out to California. One of them ended up getting famous. He was a famous actor. The other three ended up riding his coattails, basically. But these guys took over Hollywood. I'm talking big houses, fast cars, women everywhere. I mean, red carpet events, Hollywood Hills parties, hanging out with all the celebrities. It looked awesome, right? So that is what I wanted. I mean, I'm like, this is what I have to have. I'm sold. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. I'd gotten out there thinking that this was how it was done. I would go to the bars, I'd go to the clubs, and that would be where I would meet my people. So by day I would work, and it turned out that I actually was blessed to have a great job. I worked for Verizon. It was in construction. I managed crews that put fiber optic cable inside of apartments and condos. We called them multi-dwelling units, MDUs. But my territory was all of Los Angeles. So I'm cruising around in Malibu. I'm cruising around Santa Monica, Venice Beach, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, living it up. But that was not good enough for me, right? I wanted more, man. I had to have what those guys had. I had to have the limelight. So I would go out. I would work by day, party by night. And what's interesting is it didn't take long before I would meet a good buddy of mine. His name was Dave, and Dave was an actor. He was a model. And Dave had a publicist named John Orlando, the son of the great Tony Orlando. Who knows who Tony Orlando is? Musician, right? Knocked three times? Yeah. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Two of his main hits. But John had grew up in Southern California. He knew everybody. His dad was famous. So John was able to get us into everywhere that we pleased, man. Red carpet events. I was at Hollywood Hills parties. I was in every club, VIP in every club. And it wasn't too long. I'm rubbing shoulders with celebrities. And I'm thinking, man, this is happening, right? Man, it ain't going to take no time before I'm discovered and I go on to be famous. Foolish. But it was exciting for me. I loved the lifestyle. There were places to see. There were things to do. There were people to meet. And what happened was, as my life got so fast-paced that I completely lost focus, focused on how I was raised, who I was, because I'd grown up in the church, and I was very active in the church. I mean, Jeff had mentioned, we go back. I met Jeff when I was 15 years old. But when it came time for me to actually step up and step out when I faced adulthood, I chose the desires of the world. And because I'd chosen the desires of the world, my life became all about me. It became selfish. Where do I go next? Who do I use to get there? Guys, women, it didn't matter. So broken relationship after broken relationship. I do this for 4 years. Stepping on whoever to get exactly what I needed, it didn't matter. And so for 4 years, time had gone by and I'd accomplished nothing because I was intoxicated most of the time and I was just acting a fool. I came to the point where I was going to move on, and I decided to move to Charleston, South Carolina. And because I'd experienced the world, I thought I was so cool, and I puffed myself up. I carried this lifestyle right over into that city, and I was digging my hole deeper and deeper. And what was happening is I was completely losing out. I was losing grip of everything in my life. I hated who I'd become. Every time I looked in the mirror, I would get sick at myself because I knew I was the worst friend, I was the worst brother, and I was the worst son. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. I hated myself, filled with hate, hated overcome my life. I'd become so ugly and it was so dark that people hated me. And what was so trippy about that is I hated the people that hated me because they hated me, right? And I had this way of thinking that if these people didn't like me, well, it's not my problem, it's their problem. But I'd keep in this state, and I'd still put on this show. On the outside, everything was great. I'm going out to parties, I'm hosting parties, I'm doing all these cool things. People thought I was really happy, but on the inside there was darkness, there was lies, there was deceit, there was regret, there was loneliness. But I would still carry on, and I'd stay in the state for about 5 years, going deeper and deeper into depression. In 2011, I was completely dependent on alcohol, I was completely dependent on pain pills, on Adderall. I was enslaved. Matter of fact, if you would have put a drug in front of me, I would have taken that drug just to numb who I'd become. I just wanted to numb my life. Enslaved. I had my last failed relationship in 2013. Lost a great job with the government. I lost my house. I lost my savings. I lost my popularity, so therefore I lost my friends. I lost every sense of self, every sense of who I was. The darkest places that you can imagine, I found myself there. Completely helpless. Depression, darkness, doubt, disappointment, fear. I'm feeling the weight of the world. I've let myself down. I've let my family down. I've let God down. I can't handle this anymore. I just want to escape everything. I want to sleep. On two occasions in my life, I took every pill that I had on me, thinking and hoping that I'd never wake up again. I tried to end my life. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm here before you today, because it should have been a lethal dosage, but His amazing grace, right? His amazing grace. Now here it is right here. Here it is right here. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. I came to the point where I couldn't take any more. It was time to get help. I was sick of who I'd become. I was tired of all the pain, so I reached out for help. And I found myself in Boone, North Carolina, at a faith-based facility called Hebron Colony. And believe me, one of my brothers here. And believe me, it didn't take long before I was on my face before God Himself. In this chapel that we had access to, it was God, it was Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit, and it was myself. A broken person. The surrendering moment. The surrendering moment. It was me laying it all down. I was sick of everything in my life. All the fear, all the doubt, all the weight that I'd carried for so long. All the people that I'd hurt along my way. I'm crying out. I'm pouring out my soul. I'm completely exposed to the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, help me. Please help me. Please have mercy on my life. Please have mercy on my soul. I need your mercy. He saved us not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. Because of His mercy. In that moment of time, a supernatural event occurred that night. I'm laying it all out bare. I'm going through all the sins that I'd committed, and it was just like it was like a movie just going on. All the people I'd hurt, the destruction that I'd caused on my family, on all the loved ones, on all the people that loved me. I mean, the biggest jerk of all time. I mean, I was that guy, and I mean, I was just pouring it out. I was just sick of it. I was just like, Lord, just take it all. Just please take it all and help me. Change me. So I'm crying out, and really, I'm not even making sense of words. I mean, it's like this groaning and moaning that's happening. I'm pouring, crying. There's snot flying. I'm sweating so much. I'm a complete mess. I have no idea how long I was in that chapel. I have no idea the concept of time during that moment. But as soon as I laid bare and I laid it all down, I laid every burden that I had ever had, I laid it down on that altar. A calmness and peace came over me. A calmness and peace just flooded over my soul. And I knew in that moment that He had wrapped me up, and He had wrapped me up tight. And I'm talking like bear hug tight. It was hard to breathe. But it's like I could hear Him just say, I got you. I got you, son. I got you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All you got to do is listen. Listen and follow. Now, it was an indescribable moment, but when you have an indescribable moment and you tell people that it's indescribable, they want you to describe it. So, it's crazy, right? It's like being in the mountains in the month of April, maybe early May, and you see a beautiful waterfall, and you decide you're going to get under that waterfall. When that water hits you, it takes your breath away. You suck for air. You're in shock. It's cold, right? So you're sucking it in, taking a deep breath. But the more, if you were to stay under that waterfall, the more it falls over your body, what happens? It's soothing, right? It feels good. There's a euphoric feeling, and you don't want to get out. I mean, you're sitting there just shaking your head around, you know, right? But that's how it was for me. It's exactly how it was for me. Now, this is going to trip you out here. Next slide. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. Is that not beautiful? He saved us through the washing of rebirth. I'm telling you right now that Jesus Christ had reached down and pulled me right out of the muck and the mire, right out of the darkness and the depression, out of the fear and out of the loneliness, right out of the doubt and the regret, and he pulled me right out of all the mess that I'd made in my life. And he washed me clean, reborn. I felt like a new person. My addictions and my desires to use drugs and alcohol, to use people, to chase after social status, all that had been washed clean off of my soul. I had tasted Jesus. Now check this out. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because he had poured out his Holy Spirit on my life, I'd experienced this whole new way of thinking. It was like a switch had gone off. And then there was a tug on my life to move forward, to know more. I need to know more about Jesus and who he is. I need to know more about this experience and that I'm experiencing. It's crazy, like your mind's blown. But I finally knew in that moment that I had true purpose now. I was a new creation. My board had been erased. There was a new ball game. I had a new count in my life. There was a new start, a new beginning, a new moment in time. Praise God. I don't want to look back anymore. I don't even have to look back anymore, because it's like he was pouring out this knowledge on me, saying, son, your life, this new life, it's going to be nothing like your old life. And I press forward, because this is the time in a new believer's life. It's a time when you experience something on a level of that magnitude. The devil is right around the corner, and he'll do everything he can to pull you off of that mountain. It's a time to press forward. He'll use family. He'll use the people that you love to tell you that you didn't experience something that you know was real. But praise God, I press forward. All by his Holy Spirit. My life became all about four components, and I'm not making this up. It is what we teach here at Christ United. Is start, is grow, is serve, and is share. I started on a mountain in Boone, North Carolina, and my life was changed. My life was changed. And then it became all about learning. How do I learn more? What am I reading? What scripture am I reading? Am I reading books? Am I praying right? I don't even know if I'm praying right. How do I pray? I'm asking all these questions, and I need to know, can I get these questions answered? You go through a learning phase, which leads us into a growing phase. You got to have people who are there to answer those questions. You got to be around people who are growing in Christ. So it's all about, who are you growing with? Are they positive people? Are they helping me? Am I helping them? If I didn't have the David Durans of my life, the Colin Stevens, the Ray Andrews, the Mike Ritters, my Tuesday group, my golfing buddies, Brother Pastor Randy Stewart, Bob Bolsa, my guys from Hebron, Johnny Dalsey, Sky Holloman, Albert Grice, I didn't have these guys. If I didn't have the people, my brothers here at church, Steve Kipe, Robert Hahn, if I didn't have my pastors around me, Don Holder, Danny Nelson, R.D. Hodges, Hampton Drum, Jeffrey Dunn, if I didn't have my softball team, I would be a complete mess because these brothers of mine, they push me to get better. They love me. I'm living life with brothers that actually care. They want me to get better. They pray with me, not just for me, but they pray with me. And when I'm down, they lift me up. It's crucial that you put yourself around people who are growing in Christ. It's how you grow. And I love you guys for what you've done in my life. So you're experiencing these new things. You're learning. You're growing with awesome people. And God is working in your life. And what's happening is your mind's getting blown. So then it becomes about serving. Because you don't want to miss out on what's next. If there's kingdom work happening, you want to be around it. Whether you're shaking hands in the front, greeting people, or you're just having conversation with other people. Whether you're cooking, whether you're cleaning, it does not matter. But as long as you're around kingdom work, it's right where you want to be. And then the fourth thing is the sharing part. It's my favorite. Because we experience God in His majesty and He works in our life. Because He had changed my life. He saved my life. He saved me from myself. He saved my soul. Who am I sharing this news with? I have a new hope, a new life. Am I sharing it with other people? Am I bringing value to other people's lives? I want you to look around in the congregation. We're blessed at this church. We have kids, man. We have kids up here praising with their hands lifted in the air. We have middle school students. We have high school students. There's college students in this congregation, and they need our help. Look around. Turn the TV on. There's people dying every day because it's a drug epidemic out in this world. And their friends are telling them that they're no good, that if they are Christian, then they're on the wrong side. It's up to us to help these young students rise up in their faith. So are we taking the time to do that? Are we bringing value to their lives? You look at your workplaces. I guarantee you there's people in your workplaces. There are people in the school systems that really do not have hope right now. Are we sharing the hope of Christ with those people? Make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ in all His power, in all His glory, took all the authority of heaven and earth, and He charged us. He charged us to go out and make disciples, to spread the gospel to all nations. We are a part of His kingdom, people. The importance, the magnitude of that, it doesn't just stop when your life is new, like He wants you to go out and He wants to use you for His purposes. It's amazing. It's why we do what we do. And it leads us into this truth. This is beautiful scripture right here. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs of having hope of eternal life. Justified by His grace, His amazing grace. We're talking about God the Father, the creator of all things, of all power, of all majesty, of all glory. Jesus, His Son, who died for our lives. Each one of us who wants to use us, they are in heaven. We will be with them for all of eternity. This is the stuff that should just, this is why we're passionate about what we're doing with our lives. It's where we find our passion. It's in that hope. The hope that we'll be with God and Jesus. The hope that we'll be with the big names of the Bible. The hope that we'll be with the loved ones that we have lost. with the friends that we have lost, and we'll be with them forever and ever. I lost my uncle this week. An amazing, amazing man. I mean, I'm telling you, heart's broken. My heart's broken. Family's heartbroken. I mean, but this guy, dude, best personality in the world. In the world. And I remember all these amazing conversations that we've had all throughout my life. And even though my heart is broken, my broken heart is blessed because I will have infinite, infinite conversations with him. We will have infinite dreams. We will have infinite possibilities, infinite opportunities in his glory. This is big stuff we're talking about. I hope it empowers you to move forward in your life. I know that there are probably people here today who have struggled like I've struggled, and maybe you think you've gone too far, that the road is too dark for you, and there's no chance, that there's too much shame, or there's too much hurt, it's too dark. There's no way that he can use you. It comes from the deceiver. It's all a lie. Because today, it can change for you. Just like it changed for me in Boone, North Carolina. You can start today, October 16th, 2016. You can come down here and you can lay your burdens down. And I promise you, he's there. He's right here. And he will lift you up. He'll lift you up out of that fear, out of that doubt, out of all the regret and shame, out of all the mess you've created in your life. And he'll wash you clean just like that waterfall, just like that mountain waterfall. And it doesn't stop there, because he's going to pour his Holy Spirit out in your life. And you're going to have an opportunity to learn. You're going to have an opportunity to grow. And things are going to happen. It's going to be so incredible that you're not going to want to miss out. And you're going to serve. And then what's going to happen is you're going to share with people what happened on this day. You're going to share it with others, and it's going to change their lives. That can happen for you today. This altar will be down here for you. There's other people in the congregation that have been on the fence for too long, or maybe your life has just been too busy. Well, you've been missing out. Well, today is a day to start over, to rise up, and be the encourager that this new generation needs. To be the encourager of your workplace or your school systems. It's your opportunity to change lives. He wants to use you. I promise you, he will. If you step out in faith. Jesus Christ, he's our only hope. He's the only way. Father God, I just pray that in this moment right now, you would empower us to just go all out for you. Empower us to be who you've called us to be, to go deeper in your love, to go deeper in your compassion on people, and just pour it over their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.